It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
Hello and welcome back to Tip TV Finance with me, Matt Brown. And I'm joined by Joe Twyman, who's Head of Political and Social Research at YouGov. How are you today, Joe?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Fantastic. Now, starting off, Joe, can you just explain to our viewers what YouGov is? I'm sure most of our viewers would have heard of you. And just explain how you go about your business and how you poll for certainly things like the forthcoming general election.
Well, YouGov is a full-service research agency and data company. What that actually means to people in the real world who perhaps don't speak cyber geek is that we conduct research, market research, on a whole host of different subjects. Now, in the UK, we're most famous for our political research, but actually that only makes up about 5% of the total work that we do. The remaining 95% covers every possible subject under the sun, from pet food to pension products, investments to car insurance. And at the moment, we're obviously very busy with the political area and the general election that's coming up. The way we work is that we have a panel of over 500,000 people in this country who are registered to take part in surveys. We spend hundreds of thousands of pounds a year recruiting people to our panel, and anyone can sign up via the website as well. And then from that panel, we select a representative sample to answer questions. And that's representative in terms of the population we're trying to survey. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the general population in the case of the electorate or a very specific population, people who use a particular product or who perhaps purchase a particular service. We model that population to make sure that we're contacting the right number of old people, the right number of young people, the right number of men, the right number of women, etc., 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 to be representative of the population as a whole. And from that, we derive information such as the current state of the parties or other information that is useful to our clients, both in the media for public work and also privately.
OK, so focusing now on the general election, if we can just walk through the party, starting off with the party in power, the Conservatives. How are the polls currently looking for the Conservatives at the moment?
Well, currently, the polls are looking extremely good for the Conservatives. They have been on 48% now for the last three polls, which is a very strong position to be in, and historically a very high figure for them. And they've dominated the polls, really, for the last couple of years. And so this is not particularly unusual. What is interesting about this is the difference between the Conservatives and the Labour Party, because whereas the Conservatives are on a high figure, which is, we assume, why Theresa May chose to call an election, the Labour Party are on a much lower figure. Our previous poll had them on only 24%. So in other words, for everyone in our survey who was going to vote Labour, there were two going to vote Conservative. A really bad position to be in. They've since increased that to 25%, but that's not a real increase. That's just within the margin of error. But the overall story remains the same. It's roughly 2-1 in terms of Conservatives versus Labour. Now, of course, in Britain, we have a constituency-based system, not a national proportional vote system. And so it's quite difficult to predict exactly what that would mean in terms of performance. But what we can be certain about is if that performance was maintained going into the next election, then the Conservatives would be expecting some sort of three-figure majority, the like of which we haven't seen since the era of Tony Blair, the like of which the Conservatives have not enjoyed since 1987. And so it will put them in a strong position, and that's ultimately why Theresa May is holding this election in the first place. She does not want to be held ransom, if you like, to any group in her party while the negotiations on Brexit are taking place. And that includes the arch Brexiteers, those people that want a hard Brexit within her party, those MPs who wish to pull up the drawbridge and leave completely. She also doesn't want to be beholden to the Remainers within her party, the soft Remainers or the hard Remainers. She wants the power and control to be able to make the negotiations without having to worry about what was a very small majority. And so that's why she's called the election. And it's looking good for her. When you look at Labour, however, it's more difficult, not just in terms of the overall picture, but also in terms of the specific figures under the bonnet, if you like, those underlying data that that provide a greater insight into where people are. When you look at, for instance, who people think would make the best prime minister, over 50% of people say Theresa May, only about 15-16% of people say Jeremy Corbyn. Now, that's a bad position for any leader to be in, because we know that that question is very important in determining how people vote. Similarly, when you look at the specific issues, you see that the Conservatives are ahead virtually across the board, with the exception of the NHS and housing, where they're not that far behind Labour. Now, historically, no party has come from behind on, for instance, economic management and that best prime minister question to win an election. And Labour aren't just behind, they're behind by some distance. And so it must raise questions about, right, well, how well can Labour do in this election? What's their best hope? And there's a lot of talk about, will they get down to around 150 seats, which would be a historical low for them? Or will they be aiming for the kind of figures that they got in 1983, when Michael Foot's Labour Party was wiped out by Margaret Thatcher? Or will they be hoping that over the course of the campaign, some of the policies, specific policies this is, they've come up with, for instance, a £10 minimum wage or more bank holidays, whether that will be enough to bring people over to their side? And the anti-establishment feeling that exists in some part of the population, whether that will be enough to take them on.
So, Joe, just one last very quick question. Do we expect any shocks or surprises?
Well, the shocks and surprises could come from the other parties, the Liberal Democrats and the UKIP, and UKIP specifically. Now, UKIP were really the story of the last Parliament. Very strong increase in their support, rising to nearly 4 million people voting for them at the last election. The difficulty they now have is that they've lost their leader, they've lost their expertise, they've lost a lot of their finance, and they've lost what many regard as their reason for existing, all since the Brexit referendum. And they really have struggled to hold on to those 4 million voters. In our last poll, it showed that around two-thirds of those people were now moving to the Conservatives, which partly explains why the Conservatives are so high in the polls. Where they go from here is going to be really interesting. I talked to, when I was talking about Labour, about the fact there is a desire for this anti-establishment position. We saw that with Donald Trump in the US. We've really seen that in France most recently with Macron and Le Pen, both outside the established political parties. Now, there's no doubt that there is a desire in this country for that type of movement. Quite how large it is a point of some debate. But the key question is whether UKIP are able to actually mobilise that group, to unite them, to engage them, and then to get them to turn out. I suspect that with only 7 weeks, it's probably not going to happen, but you never know. Polls are only ever a snapshot of public opinion at the time, and they could change. And then there's the Lib Dems, as recently as 2015, in government as part of the coalition, but annihilated at the last election, losing so many of their seats. They're positioning themselves very much as the pro-European party, and it could be, and I do stress could, that a realignment of British politics has taken place along the lines of the EU referendum, the like of which we saw in Scotland with the independence referendum. It could be that in specific constituencies, areas like Cambridge, Bath, Bristol, the Lib Dems are able to win back some of those seats that they previously held by adopting a pro-EU message. Again, difficult to get across in 7 weeks. They haven't had the kind of profile they had previously. Their leader is not particularly well known or particularly well liked. So it's going to be a struggle, but lots of strange things can happen. We have 7 weeks, well, 6 weeks remaining now, and a week is a long time in politics.
Fantastic. Joe Twyman there, head of political and social research at YouGov. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at coda.com.